Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into episode 39. I am so excited. I have two wonderful, beautiful people here. Now I'm going to give you guys the title of the episode and then I'm going to tell you how I came to the title. So the title is called Heaven's Protector. Randy and Celeste Whitley talk about fighting for heaven while living on earth. I'm going to start out by saying how I met Randy and Celeste. So y'all know my husband slash producer slash BFF now, Corey, was singing with a group called Randy Roberts and Kingdom. So I'll never forget, I'm his biggest groupie. And I got to let other people see I'm his biggest groupie. So anywhere the group sing, I'm going to be right there. I don't care if it's 35 performances and they sing one song, I'm going. So I'll go in, Corey introduces me, hug Randy, and I hug Celeste. And I cannot describe. I told her I hugged her and she just made me want to do better. And I didn't even know her, but there was just something about her that made me want to be a better woman. And then they were doing an album recording. You might not even know this. They gave us tickets to sell. I don't normally lose stuff like that. I lost like basically the whole pack of tickets minus what we sold. And I was so nervous because Corey's like, Celeste is going to be asking for those tickets. I'm like, I know. I don't even know what I did with them. And she's going to think I'm irresponsible. This is what I'm thinking. But there's just something about Celeste when you meet her. She embraces you and you just want to be a better woman. You don't even have to know her. You feel it. And Randy, he's going to get you with laughter and then he's going to slip a word in that's going to make you scratch your head and be like, did he just, I thought we was laughing and stuff. And now he got me thinking all deep. So, but they've always treated me like family, always embraced me. And I knew that Celeste had loved me when it was about the fourth time they sang and she turned around and waved her hand for me to come sit up with the rest. I was like, yeah, I'm in there. I'm family. I am sitting with Kingdom. And I was joking. Yeah, she waved us in and I told Sky, I said, you know how you let somebody know that you're with somebody? I said, when your dad was singing, I would purposely let him forget. So when Kingdom would walk in, he would have to lean over to the side and give me his keys. And I would be like, they know that I'm with him. So that's what you got to do. But so now I had told Celeste that I looked up her name. And when I looked up Celeste, it meant heavenly. And I felt like God has given us a little bit of heaven on earth, a refuge. When I came in today, she hugged me and my arm was over hers. And y'all, I said, I got to move my arm and get under her and just wrap my arms around her. And you just immediately feel a peace. And that's what heaven is. You know, I believe heaven's going to be peaceful and joyful. And Randy, his name means house protector. And when you meet Randy, you know, he's going to protect his house and he's going to protect his heaven, which is Celeste. And if you're around him or with him or you roll with him, you're included in that house too. Yes, and that's definitely, I felt that y'all, like I said, y'all have always been good to us, to our family, made sure we were straight. And I just appreciate y'all for that. So I want y'all to know that. And y'all, they are pastors. And what is, give everybody the name of the church, look, everything.
Grace Fellowship Church International, where we live by grace and fellowship and his love.
Wow, I like that. Where we live by grace and fellowship and love.
Mm-hmm. His love.
That's put fellowship and love on a t-shirt. That definitely needs to be where we live. So in case, I'm gonna say that again, y'all, where we live by grace and fellowship in his love, which is something more of us. If we're supposed to be Christ-like, demonstrating his love, that's it. So y'all know that I like to freestyle a lot, and I want y'all to hear Randy and Celeste's story and just let them bless us. So I guess I'm gonna start out by first, who wants to go first in terms of your story and how you can, what was it that everybody, I feel like, has a point that brings them to Christ, even if you're raised in the church.
Right.
I know for me, I was raised in church, but then you kind of like, I went off to college and I joined the gospel choir. The man had gave me a solo. And then next Sunday I said, I ain't going to church. I ain't going to rehearsal. I've been going since I'm like five.
Oh, wow.
So I felt like I just wanted to be me, but I always wonder why I felt convicted, and I could look at my friends and like, we doing the same thing. Why don't they feel convicted? Why can they just do it? So what was it, Randy, that brought you to Christ? And
what brought me to Christ? That's a good question. I think that I was always introduced to Christ as a child, because growing up in my mother's household, which with a single mother for the most part of my life.
Okay.
You wasn't going to lay in the bed on Sunday mornings and not go to church.
Okay.
I couldn't go to parties. I couldn't hang out too late.
Okay.
My brother could go out, you know, but I couldn't. And so what happened was, as I grew up, I never not liked going to church.
Okay.
But at some point, you still feel like you're missing something.
Yeah.
You venture out on these little journeys and you try to find something, some other fulfillment outside of God.
Okay.
And what happens is you find yourself in a desolate place, almost like the prodigal son, where you enjoy yourself, but when you turn around, look how far you got from God.
Wow. Okay.
You feel like I've lost everything and it's not really worth what I've been through. And so you find yourself in like an isolated place. I'm surrounded by people, but isolated, because I'm isolated from his presence and things. And so I only serve God as a child through my mother's perspective, not from my own perspective.
Okay.
And so I've originally gave my life to Christ at the age of 14.
Okay.
At a youth revival at our church. And so, of course, you know, I was on fire for a while.
Right.
But I ended up going in the Navy and having fun. And you
know, I didn't know that you were in the Navy.
Yeah, 4 years.
Okay.
I went in the 88. And so I got to see things. And, you know, church wasn't as available because you're moving around a little bit. And so found myself hanging around the wrong people and doing the wrong things.
Okay.
And so eventually when I came home, which was in 93, I still, you know, whenever I came home, I would go to church. But I ended up joining a ministry, and it changed my life, and I rededicated my life to Christ and been rolling with him ever since.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I like to say, not when I
I'm gonna drink my tea while she's
I don't like to say it's not fair to say when I went to church or when I started going to church, because I've never not been in church. I've been in church all my life. I don't have the testimony of leaving the church for years and coming back. But in my terms, I say when Jesus became Lord, when everything in my life became subject to him.
Okay.
It was in 2000, you know, because I got saved around the age of 11, between 8 and 11, gave my life to the Lord. And, you know, I went to church. I did what I was supposed to do. I was a good girl.
Okay.
You know, but in 2000, I had what I call a trauma that presented me with a crossroad. My boyfriend of like 17 years was murdered. And I was at work one morning. I'd been looking for him. I was supposed to be with him when he was murdered. And I was delayed. I was caught at a birthday celebration. And I ended up not being with him. So when I found out, you know how it is when you date, you got a boyfriend and you calling them on.
Yes,
like, where are you? I know you was supposed to be here. Yeah, I know I was late, but I wasn't that late. I mean, I laid him out message after message after message. And so that morning I got up and I went to work and I was told that he died. And that he was murdered. I fell in the corner and I raised my hands and I said, I cannot do this. If you are real, you have to help me. And from that day, he became Lord over my life. And that death catapulted and changed the whole landscape of my life, because Jesus really became Lord. So it's not a game. It's not a cliche.
Right.
He really took me through grief, took me through heartbreak, and led me. He led me. And I was his. He was mine. And everything, my finances, my thoughts, my body, everything became his in that moment. In that moment, in the corner in my workplace. Yeah.
You said if you are real.
If you're real. Because church didn't teach me about relationship.
Yeah.
Church taught me about church.
Okay.
Taught me, you know, I knew, like, we laugh and we joke in our generation about in my grandparents' house, you didn't have the opportunity to not go to church because mm-hmm. it's what good people did.
Yes,
good church
okay.
people who lived in the community got up and they went to church and they, you know, served on the usher board, sang
yes.
on the choir,
yep.
danced with the visionettes, you do all of that kind of stuff.
And when,
and right,
and
when
hide,
you
and
hide,
yes,
family,
yes, you're right.
So I
you're
knew
right.
church. I
okay.
knew church, but I didn't know the Lord, and I came mm. to know Him, and that's why I say, if you are real. Because this, what I know, can't carry me through this.
Mm. Mm.
What the visionettes, the quoting Bible scripture before choir rehearsal, that's not going to get me through this.
Mm.
I think that the only thing's going to get me through this is relationship.
Yeah.
And I entered into a relationship in that moment.
Man.
In that moment.
Yeah. That is... Wow, you done messed me up. Like I said, CD, they will not come on here and have me speechless when I'm the one that's supposed to be talking. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay, the boyfriend that had been murdered. So what brought y'all together? How did y'all meet? Because if y'all, whoever's listening, if you're listening and you're around them, then you know what I'm getting ready to say. Oh. But it is a pleasure to be around them. It's a joy. They make you laugh. It's fun watching y'all interaction. You can tell that you're not just putting on because somebody's over, you know? So how did y'all meet? How did y'all come to, what brought y'all together?
Well, we met through a mutual friend, my godbrother, Randy Roberts. It's funny, right?
He was on last week.
He was on last mm-hmm. week, my man. He introduced us by mistake. He was going to get his,
It really was.
Before we walked into this, this salon, she worked in the back of the salon.
Okay.
Doing nails, and so he said, "Brother, you know what, man? I shouldn't have brought you with." And I was like, "Why?" He's like, "Man, never mind. Just come on." So we walk in the back, and apparently he told her, "Sis, I apologize."
He said, "Sis, I'm sorry." And I look up. I'm working, and I look up. I said, "Sorry for what?" And he said, "I'm just sorry."
Right, and so we ended up having what, a 3 hour?
It was five hours.
All three of us, not just me and her, one on one.
Okay.
But this is the first time that we just had this like conversation, not a loving conversation,
but just like a real
a life, yeah. like we having like a dialogue, and we just went back and forth dialogue.
Okay.
And she gave me her card. I was supposed to get my nails done or whatever, and I didn't ever call her. And so probably like a year and a half later, me and Randy Roberts were together, and he said, "Man, I know why I need to get my nails done." I said, I still had a card in my wallet, but I never called.
And so you still had the card?
In my wallet, yes. But I never called her because I didn't get my nails done. I wasn't into manicures.
But I mean, even still, to still have the card. You know, randomly you go through your wallet.
It's just, no, because I very rarely carry a wallet. And so I just had, when I opened my wallet, her card was in there. And we were in the car together going somewhere. And I called and it was her voicemail. And I left her voicemail. She called back later. And, then we just became friends. We were just cool. Loving friends. Just
friend. Okay.
Like friends. And so I had some things going on in my life.
Okay.
And so, gotta be honest, I had some other situations at the time. So,
I wish y'all could see Celeste's
face. No, it was never. But listen, I want to make sure y'all understand that our introduction to each other was just cordial.
Right. It was not anything, right?
When we became friends, it was just only like, just as like a friend.
Okay.
Platonic friend. No love. Wow. No interest or whatever. She would have these things called rap sessions, which was very crowded.
Back then.
Me and Randy Roberts would go there and we would have we probably cut up real bad more than anybody. but it was just always like, just strictly like, "Hey, Randy, hey, Celeste," you know, like a greeting and just regular conversation, none of that. And so the day before Randy Roberts got married
to his first wife,
he got his nails done, and me and her had became closer, but not like in a loving way.
Okay.
And it was me, him, and his mom was in there, and I hadn't talked to Celeste for probably like a week and a half. She hadn't talked to me. And so this is going to sound real strange, y'all. I'm going to speed this up because I know we all time.
No, take your time.
So we was talking, and so it's four people in the room, right? It's
Here
me.
We go.
Pastor Celeste, Randy Roberts, and
Why
Barbara Roberts. Listen,
right,
right. Well, Celeste, at the top of Celeste, because she's in denial about this whole scenario. But I have two other people that claim and that they heard
the same thing.
Well, you would not own
I'll
up to it. Wait a minute. So we were going back and forth, right? And what I heard her say was, she said, well, I ain't talked to you in a minute. I was like, oh, you know, she was like, look, you know, we going back and forth. I'm right quick on my feet. I'm going to give you the sassy response. I'm going to jab at you, right? And so what she did was slammed her stuff down and said, look, if you wanted to be here, you would be here. If not, then just shut up. At that moment, T, listen, I had an instant headache. I mean, like a severe pounding. And all I saw flashing over her head was wife. Wife, wife. Keep in mind, we're not in a loving relationship.
Y'all are just friends.
We're just cool. Right? So hear me out. I've known Celeste for how long at that point?
I don't.
Maybe like two or three.
It's about two or three years. Yeah.
And so the next day was Randy Robbins' wedding. Okay. I was in the wedding, and so at the reception, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, at the church right after the wedding. When I seen her, I saw her in the way T that I'd never seen her before.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed she had brown eyes. She had breasts. She had a shape. I've never seen her like this.
Like
listen.
That.
And so I'll let her piggyback. This is my experience. You know?
Okay.
She can
okay.
tell her part. So, and she can pick up and come back to the same point. And so I was so awestruck that when we got to the reception, you know how the wedding party comes in?
Yeah.
Soon as we came in, I dragged Randy Roberts to the bathroom.
The
listen,
groom.
The groom.
The groom.
Right after the first dance, Corey, we just sitting there. I said, man, did you see Celeste? He was like, man, yeah, bro. I said, no, did you see her? I said, no, come here. I dragged him. We stood in front of that bathroom until this lady came out the bathroom. Honest to goodness, I've never seen this lady in this light ever. And she, to the point, she'll tell you what happened when she came out the bathroom. I still never said nothing to her. Right away until like later on, and I'll leave it like right there and let
okay.
her come in, and then maybe we'll elaborate.
We've told this story probably, I'm gonna say maybe 100 times. Today, I've recognized something I never recognized before. The wedding was August the 22nd.
Okay.
The day that my boyfriend was murdered was August the 22nd.
Wow.
I just recognized that just now in this moment. But that's kind of eerie, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But and it's anyway. Like he saw you in a totally
right.
different...
So crossroads. I describe them as crossroads. We all have these crossroads in our life
mm-hmm.
where we can make a choice. We're faced with a decision. Either you can go right or you can
go
left. And we all have them. Death is always a crossroad. Birth is always a crossroad.
Wow, okay.
But you also have crossroads in your life where it's like, do I marry her or I don't? Is she my wife or is she not?
Mm.
Do I give my life to Christ or do I not? Do I sleep with this person or do I not? They're crossroads. And so I just now, I guess because you asked me, nobody really asked me those two right back to back for me to make that connection. But anyway, that wedding, I had been to 11 weddings that year.
Half of 22.
11
weddings.
Back just, I mean, it to the point I had a calendar at work and my clients would be like, are you serious? You're going to another wedding? And so it was just flip it. I'm flip it. By now it's wedding number 11.
So it's
in,
like,
in
whatever.
That year.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. But this wedding was unique. This wedding was unique, not because of the person, because my best friend had gotten married a couple of weeks before that.
Okay.
And I had on a t-shirt and a jean skirt. I mean, my best friend. And I mean, bougie wedding. And I was running so late. It was like, do I miss my best friend's wedding or go home and change my clothes?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was like,
okay,
I'm going. And
right.
I literally had like a church conference t-shirt because at this point, I'm Jesus Jr.
Okay.
At this point, yeah. Like, I'm Jesus Jr.
Straight from heaven.
Right. And Randy
heavenly.
I tell you why he says that. I got that term from him. I was Jesus Jr.
JJ,
at this time. I'm like, Jesus
JJ.
Was my man.
JJ.
I didn't want nobody else. I was fine.
You got a boyfriend
from
Jesus.
That's the way I was.
So I went to
this bougie body. With a conference t-shirt and a little jean skirt. So this
did
is
you
not,
have a dolly on?
No, I didn't have a dolly, but I was straight out of heaven. I want you to know. That was the conference I was on the floor. Do you hear me?
Right.
That's why it ran over, because I was on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, this wedding, I mean, I went, bought a new dress. I got my makeup done. I went to the hairdresser that morning. Like, I put so much effort.
Into
this particular wedding. And so I went to the wedding alone. And so you know how people do.
Mm-hmm.
They sit the singles all at the
same table.
Hoping them, and it was this man wearing me out. Do you hear me? He was like the man. I'm like, I attract, no offense to the listeners, but you know, the man with the collar with the pointy, like Jerome.
Yes.
Martin.
Oh, bring it home for Jerome.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's my magnet. Like, that's my magnet right there. He's going to spot me out. And he spotted me out at that wedding. And they sat me at the table. So I went over to Randy and I said, please, this is just my buddy. He's not, I don't even like him. So I walk over to Randy and I'm like, look, can you save me from this guy? Because, like, please just act like I'm your date. And he was like, sure. So I went up to the table, to the head table, and sat with him. You know, like, sat there with him and just talked. Because not because I was so goo-goo for Randy, but I wanted to get away from this guy.
Been there. I know the feel.
So I go to the bathroom. But before that, I go to the bathroom. Now, imagine you're at a wedding. It's the beginning of the wedding. It's not at the end. I mean, the beginning of the reception. It's not the middle. It's not the end.
This is when
you should be at the table. You're married with the bride and the groom sitting at the table eating their food. I go to the restroom, still the same Celeste I am today, wash my hands. I come out of the restroom and he is the groom in the back of the head sitting there like, I was like, what y'all looking at? Is somebody in the bathroom or something?
Right.
And he's just
cheesing.
And my brother's like, sis, you doing it today? And I'm like, why are you in front of the bathroom?
So, and not at the table.
Right. You're supposed to be out there.
And he said, you're doing it today.
And he said, you're doing it today. And I guess it was because of that conversation.
That's how
But in that moment, like, what was the moment? You had your moment. What was the moment for you?
Oh my Lord.
Well, I want to lead up before she tells my moment. I got to put this in there. Mind you, she said we were just buddies.
Okay.
And so I was struggling because when God showed me she was my wife, we had no type of loving relationship. And so when I shared it with
her. Did you believe it was him right away?
I knew it was him.
Okay.
I was 100% sure. Okay. The moment he showed me in her shop, mind you, he flashed that in her shop the day before the wedding. But I just didn't say nothing. But my godmother was like, oh my God. Oh my God. She said, oh my God, can't nobody shut my boy up. Oh my goodness. So I didn't feed into it because I had such a headache. When I say I had a pounding headache, I mean, I almost had like an instant migraine. And so a couple days later, I shared with her that God showed me that she was my wife. And this was probably the most nicest letdown I've ever heard in my life. Y'all, she said, you know, Randy, you're a nice guy and everything, but you just got a little bit too much going on. And God had to show me a whole list of things for me to believe that.
Listen to my language.
I'm your wife. This is what she tells me.
This is my language.
She said, you're a nice guy, but you just got a whole lot going on. God would have to show me a whole list of things.
Okay.
For me to believe that you would be my husband.
I got chills on.
And guess what my response was? I said, I'm not going to try to prove it to you. I just know what God told me. And I just left it alone. So go ahead.
Okay.
So first thing, my recollection of that encounter is, I didn't say that. So I believe that your spirit man can speak. And so my spirit man spoke for me and said what needed to be said at that moment. Because what I thought I said was like, yeah, right. Something along
like
those
that.
Lines. That's what I felt like I said. But the reaction and the response of my brother had his feet in the tub. He gets out, jumps out from the chair with his feet like wet in the place. His mother is in the back. She's standing up like, oh my God. So I have to believe that I said what they said that I said, but I'm just telling you my mind.
Oh, this is when he said
that I said, if you want to be here, you want to be here. Thought that I said, yeah, right. Whatever was the attitude that I had. Like, nigga, please. Excuse me.
Right. No,
that's what I thought that I said. So anyway.
But can I interject something?
You
just brought clarity to something for me. And you said sometimes your spirit man will speak for you. Last night, me and my girlfriends had a slumber party. Yeah, like a powwow. And one of my girlfriends had needed a blessing. And she talked to somebody she doesn't normally talk to. And the person offered it. And my girlfriend said, sometimes God will have something tumble out of your mouth and you don't even know it. And you're like, did I say that?
That's it.
So you just brought clarity. Like, your spirit man. Because sometimes we just make things sell, and it's like, no, that's what you said. It's your spirit man.
And the scripture says, you open your mouth, I'll fill it with words. And so I opened my mouth because I really thought that I said, nigga, please, like, whatever, because that's really how I felt about his statement.
Oh my goodness.
But that probably wouldn't have jarred him and brought God in the moment. I mean, right. I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but that invited him in that moment. You understand what I mean? So I said to him days later, when he told me about this vision, I had that same feeling. Like, whatever. Please. I'm like, Jesus talked to me. He didn't tell me no such thing. But at the same time, and I really, it's such a long story. I'm trying to make a long story short. It really was, I always had in my mind, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Okay.
So I've always been in a position where it was like, would God really tell me, or would he tell him first? So I had that like in the background. Because
it's for him to find you.
Absolutely. That's in the background, because I told you Jesus is my main man. How I knew, to answer your question, how I knew it was correct was, I said to him, like, yeah, right, God would have to show me. Basically, my feeling was, he talks to me, he ain't telling me no such thing. And I say all the time, it's our joke, Randy wore red shoes. You know how you have girlfriends and you tell your girlfriends, child would never date a guy. My best friend was, I would never date a guy who wore white socks. Only person can wear white socks and black shoes is Michael Jackson. And if I'm not marrying Michael Jackson, and so mine was, I'm not marrying a man who wears red shoes, because I can't stand red shoes, because the only person should wear red shoes is Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. So this is like our joke and our friendship. This is your running joke. Right? Mm-hmm. And so Randy wore red shoes all the time. So he was not in my category of men that I like because of these red shoes. So I said, you know, I'm like, God, plus he wears red shoes. And so I'm like, that's what I am.
I love that.
I went to another conference. I will never forget Kingdom Conference. I wish to this day I knew this speaker's name. And he did a teaching on the Kairos timing of God, the perfect timing of God, and how his Kairos time has dunamis power. And so when you can have his permissive will, you can have his perfect will. And his perfect will includes his perfect timing, which has a dunamis
power
to it. And so he did an illustration and is doing this is a singles breakout session that I'm at. And so he's doing this thing, this illustration has a woman walking around the room and a man walking around the room. And they walk past each other periodically. And he says, because they're not meant to know each other, because it's not the perfect time. So you as a single, you walking around, you know, looking, and it's like they're just, and I mean, this illustration seemingly to me goes on for a very long time while he's teaching. So I'm sitting in the class and I have a piece of paper. So he's going through a list of things that you know that this is the guy
for you,
because supposedly you're single. And so the question is, how do I know that he's Mr. Right? And so I have a R on one side and a T on another with a line down the paper on my notes in the class. And so it was this guy who went to my church. He was saved. He was celibate. So it was all of the things that I felt like I needed.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into that, because that's a whole nother story.
Okay.
That's like for a women's session.
So
I thought he was my husband. I thought this man was my husband, because I thought God told me, I didn't want to go here. I thought God told me that this particular man was my husband, because one day I'm at the altar call, Bishop is doing prayer, and I heard, this is your husband. And so I had this man's hand. I didn't know this man, never knew him, didn't know anything about him. Remember, I'm just at the altar because I'm
Jesus.
So I open my eyes and I look. Just so happenstance, I met the guy. He was single, wasn't having sex, did it. So I was like, okay, this is my husband. So this is it. So on my paper, I had a T and an R.
Okay.
Randy, and I'm going to leave his name.
No, so that's what that was.
Call him Thomas for the sake of.
Right. Okay, so okay, I'm going okay. through the conference, and he's writing, you know that he's the one win. You know when he's the one.
Win.
So at the end, Randy had checks all the way down, and this guy had one check.
Your list, and you had told Randy God would have.
So I began to weep like I was an infant without their mother. I mean, I'm talking about a cry like I've never cried. I was like, I don't want to marry him. He's got baby mothers. And he's, I don't. My life is calm.
Really
he wears
shoe.
Red shoes. I don't even like him like that. Why can't I be married to him? But I don't want. So I'm having a hissy fit. Okay.
Oh my.
And I mean, I'm crying. I'm not talking about you just sitting somewhere where tears just coming down. I mean, I'm weeping.
The ugly cry, like
weeping,
Sally.
The ugly, that kind
like
of cry.
Like a silly cry.
I turn around and the guy, the T, is behind me. And I'm like, so now he comes attitude, black girl rocks. Like, oh, so you're going to see me crying like this and you're not even going to help me? Is she?
Yes. Yes. So,
but let me show you how God worked. That automatically took him off of my list. He's
just
off
like
my,
that.
Just like you, that. Because why would you see me weeping?
And not come.
And not put your hand on my shoulder. Didn't offer me a tissue. I'm sitting in this whole class. Don't even know you're behind me. But yet, I'm thinking you're my husband. So as I walk through the threshold of the class, I heard the Lord say, you'll never be in a singles workshop again unless you're teaching. As I walked out of the door, I knew Randy was my husband. I came and I told him a year later I was married.
With red shoes.
Right. With red shoes.
And I will buy him a pair of red shoes. Okay. I walk in the store like my baby would like those red shoes right there.
Sorry for taking up so much time.
I like to know the beginning because without the beginning,
people would never understand how that this is a God thing.
He got red shoes on now.
No,
you look too, right?
I have multiple pairs.
Yes,
people don't have a real understanding when they see us what goes behind the smile and the unity.
Mm-hmm. Say that again, please.
We didn't find each other. God called us together.
Yeah.
It was purposeful, you know. And I think that a lot of times we come together with what we think we want, not what we're supposed to have.
That's right.
And so when you see people that can't weather that storm, it's because you want, maybe you just went to what you wanted versus what God offered you. Because oftentimes what God offers you is not going to look anything like what you desire.
Wow. That's the third time that's come up.
Yeah.
We were in our marriage ministry Bible study last week, and they were talking about how God will give you a promise, but it doesn't come with what you look like, what you expected. So that Saturday, a woman has said how God told her she was going to have a child, but she had a miscarriage. Then she had a child with conditions, so she got her promise. And then when we interviewed Randy and his wife, she shared on the podcast that God showed her she was going to have a big family with a lot of kids and then had a hysterectomy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Lord, and then she meets Randy.
That's what you said. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to my producer for a second because he's got a good point. Say that again. You can talk.
The one that had the child with the issues, how did that bless them? They said how it blessed them.
Oh, they said because the way they were able to, sometimes that'll break couples up, but that brought them closer. And because of the way they were able to handle his issues, when things got hard, like later on in life,
they could go back to when
they dealt with the issues in the beginning and they were able to work through it.
That's right.
Yeah. And they helped other families and they end up raising like three or four other disabled children who were thrown away by their families.
I asked God later on, I thought you told me the guy at the altar was my husband. And just in the long lines of what you said, and he said, I told you a man of God. You took your logic and added it to my words. Because I was dating hustlers. I was dating people who were in the world
and not
men of God because I didn't know any. And so God showed me a man of God at the altar. So when he said, this is your husband, He wasn't telling me it was this. He's saying a man of God is your husband. Mm-hmm. That's what I have for you. And so that's the thing. Sometimes we take the promise and add our logic to it.
Wow.
And we define the promise instead of God defining the promise for us. Because he said, I would bear children. He didn't say you would bear children from your womb. He just said you would bear children. But see, we take our logic as if, and what does the scripture say? His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Yeah. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. And so we mess up when we try to say, oh, this is what God said. Oh, God said I was going to marry this guy. No, he just said you're going to marry this man. Did not have anything to do with the person. I took my logic
and said,
that's
always
what we
be.
Do. That's what we do. And that's why so many of us are disappointed thinking that the promise didn't manifest, but the promise is manifesting in the will of the Father, not your will, and his knowledge and his understanding. So he knew in the situation with the people you had on last week, in that situation, he knew that she would have a hysterectomy.
Before she was even born,
okay. He knew that the woman wasn't going to be able to bear a healthy child. He knew that, but we take and we mess it up. It's not God is not a man that he shall lie.
That
promises
is good.
A yes and amen.
Think we get sidetracked because we put our expectation over God's
all
promise
the time. Okay.
Every time. Because we want God to do something so bad that regardless of what God says, we still have an expectation in our mind that this is how he's going
but
to do it.
But this is how he's going to do it.
And so if people get desperate for things, then they do desperate things.
Yep. Okay.
That doesn't always work in your favor because we don't have to be desperate when we're in Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and what all other things will be added unto you. So why is there a need for you to be desperate for anything outside of God? If you want to be desperate for anything, it has to be in his presence.
Okay.
Because that's in his presence is what? The fullness
of
joy. At his right hand or what? Right. And so the whole point is because we're kingdom, we have to change our perspective that whatever we want is found in him. He's complete. He's not lacking
whatever
in any area.
Whatever we want is found in him.
It's found in him first. And so the things we have to go to God first, not to get it. We have to go to God to get him. Things come with him. That's, you can't have things without him. You know, and so we go after things without him. Or then we go to God for the things. No, the things aren't promised. He's promised to you. But with him, he has another set of promises that come with him. But you can't get it without him.
That's just like if I'm asking to borrow money from you, but I don't want you. I just want your money.
My dad
would always say, if you come to borrow money, you have to take what comes with it. My advice.
That's
my
right.
This,
that's
my
it.
That. You
my
don't just get the money. Yes.
My judgment.
Yep.
And
yep.
all of that comes with it.
That's what love looks like.
Mm.
Love is not going to put you in a situation without giving you good sound counsel. Love is not going to agree and let you get a blessing when he knows that blessing will overtake you. But if you keep asking him for it, he'll grant it. But can you really handle to be blessed? Can you stand
and
be blessed?
Can you stand and be blessed?
You know, because the bottom line,
people want to get married because they're tired of getting their heart broke.
Or they're tired of being by themselves.
Absolutely.
So they settle for anything.
They don't want another cuffing season. So they cuff the wrong person. You know, so you settle for the wrong thing. The next thing you know, you cuff to something.
That just made us spit our tea out.
Look, y'all. Sylvester made us some good old tea, and I went to take a drink, and he almost made me spit it out.
I know. I see that on social media all the time. It's cuffing season. So when the seasons change, you feel like now you should be with somebody in this season, but you want to run wild in that season.
I was going to say, knowing that you've already put in your mind that I'm going to be uncuffed the next season, because this is just only for now.
Right. I remember being single, and the cliche was you'll be with him in the winter, and in the summer he's gonna leave you because remember this it's the mentality of so many people,
and they live by this, and they think it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh no, I just left whatever season it was. It didn't make a difference.
It didn't make a difference.
I play season.
And you've also proved, and I like to feel like I proved another. I know you heard of this one. Don't buy a man no shoes. I had a girlfriend say
he'll walk right out your life.
I had bought Corey's. I was so excited. And I was going to the mall on my break to buy him shoes. Girl, my mother said, you don't buy no man no shoes because he'll walk right out of your life.
All right, witchcraft.
No, but it's when right. I think about it, you can't, you know, you can't be saved and superstitious. Pick right. a struggle. Listen, you can't, you know, don't walk around a pole or, you know,
I mean, don't step on a crack,
break in my bag. Yep. You know, this one lady, I'm not lying, this one lady I work with, she's saved, supposed to be a Christian. She takes off every Friday. She does not work Friday to 13th. If right. the 13th fall on a Thursday or a Friday, she when I say she takes off, listen, religiously, every Friday to 13th. And my thing is, I was like, wow, at first I was like, oh, I'm like, oh, you if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creatures. You know, everything. Huh?
Miss your blessing. You don't even know what.
So you can't be superstitious and saved. It doesn't go hand in hand. You can't mix darkness with light. You can't mix oil with water. You can't put new wine in old wine skins. Mm. That's a reason for that.
Okay. And then we wonder why. It's funny because people will say, you know, how you're raised obviously comes into when you're older, which sometimes your brain goes into protection mode. I was reading up on bipolarism, and sometimes your mind goes into protection mode because it knows you can't handle this. Right. So we have a lot of Christians that are bipolar in the spirit you're going like you said, you're superstitious, but then you believe in God, and then your mind is going
double-minded.
So now you look like you're bipolar spiritually bipolar because
you believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, but you still go get your palms raised.
Say that again.
You can't do that.
Say that again.
You know, you believe God's a healer, but you still go do other things to numb your pain.
What about, I believe God is going to supply all my needs, but you don't want to abide by the scripture that says, like, pay who you render to Caesar with Caesar's. Pay your bills.
You want to carry 8 kids on your taxes and you ain't got no children. Right. I mean, but those are
Jesus
things.
Forgave,
and I'm not judging,
Jesus forgave
but I'm just
me for that.
Being direct.
No, I'm just joking.
Because listen, what we don't take to heart and what we don't take notice of is that we can never outsmart God. We can't hustle.
You're right.
We hustle people, but we can never out-hustle God. God knows all things. He knows our thoughts are far off. So before we even form it, he already know what we're going to do. He created all.
Like,
created
here she
us.
Go. She get right
yeah, and
this.
So the thing is, so when you're cheating on your taxes, but you want God to get your house, you're cheating on your spouse, but you want God to sustain your marriage. You cannot expect God to do something when you have something. You offering him a dirty sacrifice. And what happened to the old prophets and the old high priests? They go before God with dirty sacrifice. They drop dead in his presence. You know, and so that's the truth about how we move in this earth, because we tend to put the world's expectation in the kingdom posture, and it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit.
Mr. and Mrs. Whitley, okay.
Yes.
I am like, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to ask these questions, I'm going to do this, y'all, they got my head like with a million thoughts, but y'all have like really, again, inspired me to want to really step up to the plate. And like you said, not judging, or not that you're not a Christian if you don't do these things, but there comes a point in your life when you really have to decide, am I really walking this walk? I was telling somebody, they were talking about, you know, the power seems like it's dead in churches. You know, I don't want to have to wait 7 days to receive my blessing when he just spit on dirt and Bartimaeus could see. You know, I want to, and if greater works than those are that we're supposed to do, why are they not happening? So that's been my conversation with God. Like, man, I want you to use me in these ways, but I know what comes along with that too.
Indeed.
It's not just going to be easy. It's not just going to be, oh, life is great. You may go out, lay hands on a person, and they're here from sickness, and you go outside and your engine and fell out your car.
Absolutely.
I call it the cost of the call.
Okay.
There's always a cost to the calling on our life. And if we really want to see the call of God manifest in our life, we have to know that comes with a cost. I mean, the penalty has been paid, but there's still a cost. Jesus paid the penalty for your call, but the cost still is
that,
there.
That makes sense. So like, say if you owe the IRS bill and you said, Tariq, I'm going to take care of that $400 penalty, but you still got to pay the balance
of
that cost.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And that's how it is. And so what hurts us in the kingdom is that when we start operating in our gift, operating in our call, and then the adversary comes and buffets us and enters into our life and causes chaos, or God puts us in a purifying season, most of us fall short and yield back on our yes. But in order for us to stand firm in our yes, we have to understand that that yes is going to cost you something. Okay. Not is it going to cost you something. It's going to cost you everything.
Why? Because Jesus
a life
Christ.
Laid down. It has to. It's a life laid down for the call. That it's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I have to die to myself. And so the reason we don't see signs, wonders, and miracles operating in our workplaces, operating in some of our churches, is because we don't want to live a life laid down. So I want to be more concerned about my outfit on Sunday that I wear to church than being available for God to use me. So I'll spend 3 days getting ready for church so other people can see what I have on versus spending 3 days getting ready to enter into his presence.
Yeah. I think that if you look at the fact that Christ lost everything for us, he gave up something. He gave his life up for us. He took away, he took the full weight of our sin life. He never sinned. But he's going to take this L for us. And so he says, if you want to reign with me,
you got to suffer with me.
Yeah. Ministry costs because Christ's ministry costs. For God so loved the world that he gave his own.
Well, guys, there you have it. Part one, which was episode 39. And it's about to get even deeper. I know you want to hear their words of wisdom, but you're going to have to tune in next week, which is going to be part two, but it's going to be episode 40. So make sure you tune in next week so we can go deeper with Randy and Celeste. Love you, butterflies. Thank you so much for listening.